Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
I have to say, for full disclosure, before we start this poem, I am not a motorcycle rider. I have never been. My best friend died in a motorcycle when I was 16, and it sort of left me scared to death. So with that as a backstory, motorcycle riding is dangerous. According to the United States National Highway Safety Administration, 13 cars out of every 100,000 end up in a fatal crash each year. That rate is 13 out of 100 for cars. It's 72 out of 100,000 for motorcycles. And that doesn't include sort of off-road vehicles. We're just talking about registered motorcycles. Motorcyclists account for 14% of all traffic fatalities and for 4% of all injured people in a motor vehicle accident. If you're the kind of person who prefers your statistics based on vehicle miles traveled, I've got something for you here. Motorcyclists' risk of fatal crash is 35 times greater on a motorcycle than it is in a passenger car based on miles traveled. So no crash is good, but if your patients do crash, it's better if they're wearing a helmet, which absorbs some of the force and protects your little head, and inside that little head, there's a little organ called a brain.
Careful, Mike.
Huh?
Careful,
okay,
Mike.
I apologize. I'm maybe not a smaller brain, but is wired differently, so they're willing to accept more risk. Is that okay?
There you go.
Okay. I apologize. Helmets are about 37% effective in preventing motor vehicle deaths, so they're not a home run, but it helps. And about 67% effective in preventing brain injuries. So helmets have saved lots of lives and lots of head injuries. If you excuse the pun, it's a no-brainer that helmet laws that force people to wear helmets decrease deaths and decrease injuries. But there's still lots to research on this topic, specifically in an attempt to convince people in those libertarian states without helmet laws that they need to get with the program. You found a poem. It's published in
Southern Medical Journal.
Southern Medical Journal. It asks the question, do helmets reduce serious injuries and fatalities among motorcyclists? It takes place in Kentucky, and it was published in 2018, and it starts on page 8.
Well, Mike, I do have some sympathy for motorcycle riders. I'm a bicycle rider, pretty enthusiastic one, do a lot of long-distance bike touring, and arguably, probably, the fatality rate per mile on a bicycle is probably even worse than that for a motorcycle. So, but there's just a feeling of that I enjoy being on a bicycle that I don't get driving around in a car. So
right.
I kind of get it.
But you do wear a helmet. I know you.
I do.
Yes,
yes I do. So, there have been a lot of studies, mandatory helmet laws, looking at the law pre and post implementation. This study is a little different in that it took advantage of a natural experiment at the Tennessee, Virginia, Kentucky border. So Kentucky doesn't have a motorcycle helmet law. Virginia and Tennessee do. At a level one trauma center that serves all three states, they found 729 motorcycle crash victims who were admitted between 2005 and 2015. Among the Kentucky motorcyclists where there's no helmet law, 41% were wearing helmets compared to about 80 to 90% in the other two states. So even the law can't get everyone to comply, apparently. Compared with motorcyclists in the two other states, those in Kentucky had a higher fatality rate in hospital, 7.3 versus 4.3%. So number needed to treat is 33 for wearing a helmet to prevent one death if you're in a wreck, as well as significantly longer length of stay, more severe head and neck injuries, more surgeries, unhelmeted status across all three states. You know, if you took the unhelmeted Tennesseans as well and Virginians, predicted a much higher rate of severe head injuries and death, odds ratios of 15 and 4 respectively. So at least in this group who survived long enough to get to the hospital, there was a much higher risk. It's probably even more of an issue or more of a stronger association if you include it. So bottom line, wear your helmet. Michigan, unfortunately, a few years ago passed a law that you don't have to wear a helmet anymore. And, you know, just proving that my state is quite different from the one that I grew up in recent years. And Georgia has a motorcycle law where I currently live. South Carolina does not. So it really varies from state to state. And we need to be, you know, as public health advocates and physicians, you know, speaking up and advocating for these laws. They do make a difference for our patients.
Yeah, it's an interesting study. I mean, they get a lot of credit for being creative. And, you know, you could do perhaps other kinds of randomized trials. This is very cool. This natural study with the border states, with the trauma center, I'm quite taken with it. And the data is consistent, I think, with what we've seen before. But it's a nice study. And I think if I was a Kentucky legislator, it would be quite convincing.
Something tells me you'd be very unlikely to get elected in Kentucky, Mike.
Yes.
Just a wild guess here.
Yes. One of the things that always puzzles me, though, is that, you know, from a libertarian perspective, they're opposed to motorcycle helmet laws, as you would predict they would be. But it's puzzling to me because these folks who end up with particularly serious neurologic injuries end up costing the system enormous. They're among the most costly patients in society to care for, both in terms of their injuries acutely, but also their long-term nature. And all of that ends up getting borne by the public, either by government, if they're on government programs, or by private insurance, which raises the rates for the rest of us as well. So it's hard to come up with an argument, I think, against having helmet laws.
Yeah, it was kind of a joke in Michigan when they passed the law. I think they required that they have at least $3,000 worth of health insurance or something ridiculous like that, which would cover about, you know, half a day in the ICU.
A couple of
and you're right, these are often younger. These are younger people. So there's not only right. They have a serious injury, the long, long-term cost of care, but then also loss of productivity for many years. And obviously the human tragedy of it all. So yeah, wear your helmets.
Talk to you again next week, Mark.
All right.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.